Scripture for the message this morning.
It's taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, reading verses 26 through 38. Again, it's Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 26. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid. Mary, you have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great. And we call the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. I invite you to take out the insert in your bulletin for this morning's message. Just a reminder, in the coming weeks, we are asking you to prayerfully consider making a gift, a donation, a sacrifice to hurricane relief. And as we have been saying, give a sacrificial, self-full gift this Christmas and continue Christ's mission of outreach into our world. We're asking you to challenge yourself and give equally to Jesus' birthday what you're giving in gifts to family and friends. And I know that is a great challenge, but we ask you to prayerfully consider that. If you look in the bulletin this morning, there actually have been some gifts that have come in, over $12,000 already towards hurricane relief and over $5,000 in gift cards. So we praise God for what God is already doing, and again, want to encourage you to continue to reach out in these days. I've titled the message this morning, Giving Up on Perfect. I don't know how many of you, but this time of year, it seems like we always get asking different questions and we begin to ponder things in our minds. And sometimes you may have asked, or you may have asked somebody, or you may be thinking, are you ready for Christmas? Some of you are still asking, am I ready for Thanksgiving? But are we ready for Christmas? Now, when you ask that question, are you ready for Christmas? What are we thinking about? We're thinking about, well, if we're ready, that means our shopping is done. It means our lights are up, our decorations are up. Maybe if we're having people over, we've already kind of laid out what the meal plan is going to be. Maybe you already know what kind of clothes you need to wear. You're going to a couple Christmas parties and you know that's got to be done. Maybe you've had Christmas cards or maybe you've done some Christmas letters to send out to people and let the other people know what's happened in this past year and have those things been done yet? Some people, when they hear that question, am I ready? Or are you ready for Christmas? They think to themselves, you know, this season brings frustration, brings aggravation. And maybe the first thing you think of is, you know, how busy you're going to be. Maybe you think of, you know, I don't like driving across town with all the traffic this time of year. Maybe you start thinking to yourself, you know, I know I am going to be mentally and physically more exhausted in the next 2 weeks than I have the entire year because of all the things that have to get done. All the packages that have to be wrapped, all the packages that have to be bought, all the baking that has to be done. Maybe you have a cookie exchange that you're doing and you have to get those things together. Or maybe at work you have that notorious gift exchange that never made sense and you never know exactly what to get. Is this what Christmas is all about? Is this the perfect Christmas?
Is this the Christmas we think about and thought about when we were children, that one day this is what Christmas will be with my family? Is this the Norman Rockwell Christmas we're striving for? Is this how we celebrate Emmanuel, God with us? I don't know how many of you have seen the movie Christmas Vacation with Chevy Chase. It's a parody of those false expectations that we often build up around the traditional family Christmas experience. And I think oftentimes we can identify with the major character there, Clark Griswold, who does everything within his control to give his family the gift of a perfect Christmas. The movie starts with Clark taking his family out in the wilderness to search for the perfect Christmas tree. And after a road rage incident, the family station wagon ends up crashing into a snowbank, and the Griswolds set off into the wilderness on foot. After a long march through the snow, Clark finds the perfect Christmas tree, only to realize he forgot a saw. From wrestling with Christmas lights that don't work, to extended visits from relatives that are difficult, the Griswolds continue to face experiences that cause many to think, sounds like me, I've been there, and I've done that. And I think, like Clark, our intentions to have this good old-fashioned family Christmas may not always live up to this consumer-focused mentality of marketing that companies make it out to be. But then again, those visions of Christmas seem to have replaced the true meaning of Christmas. Again, God with us. As we've been saying, whose birthday is it that we celebrate on the 25th of December? Christmas is not your birthday. It's been our Advent theme this year. And I put it in your... I didn't put it in your notes there. But look up here at these words from Michael Slaughter, a pastor, again, whose book we're using as we kind of walk through this. He says this: consumer-focused marketing and Victorian Christmas traditions have replaced the biblical meaning of God with us. In our attempts to create the magical Christmas experience, we run ourselves into the ground emotionally, physically, financially, and relationally. Then after weeks of pressure and preparation, all for the purpose of creating one perfect day in an imperfect year, someone's upset because they didn't get the present they wanted, a toy is already broken, and Grandpa drank too much. I actually edited what he actually had in his book. Get the book, you'll see what he actually said. Perfect doesn't happen. You can't buy your way into a perfect Christmas. The Christmas season for many is a painful reminder of the past. A death in the family, someone walking out of your life, the loss of a job. Has Christmas ever brought the unexpected into your life? Listen, this is what Christmas is all about. Even in the midst of the unexpected, God shows up. Sickness, death, divorce, unemployment, life gets messy. But in the midst of the mess, God shows up. No matter what you're struggling to overcome, no matter what life issues have come your way, God promises to show up. Christmas is God's vivid reminder that amid the uncertainty, God shows up to bring peace, to bring purpose, to bring joy, to bring hope, to bring wholeness, to bring salvation. Have you ever thought about how messy Christmas really is? I mean, I know we have these pretty manger scenes that we have with a nice straw on the roof. But you ever stop and think how messy Christmas really is? We think about the cattle are lowing, the baby awaking, laying in hay. Jesus was born in a cave where animals were kept. You know what's on the ground where there's animals kept? The point I'm trying to make is that walking in the way of Jesus can get very messy. In that first chapter of Luke, the Gospel, we see how complicated the situation even was for Jesus to come into the world. In the sixth month, God sends the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged, already committed, to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. Her name was Mary. How emotionally prepared do you suppose Mary, which they believe was between 12 and 15 years old, how prepared do you think she was for this life experience? Gabriel says to her, "Don't be afraid. Mary, you found favor with God. You're going to be with child. You're going to give birth to a son. You're going to call him Jesus. He'll be great. He'll be the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He'll reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom won't ever end." Now, what part of "do not afraid" do you think Mary didn't understand? I mean, do you think the thought ever crossed her mind that her parents are not going to believe this explanation? We already know that her fiancé, Joseph, rejected her early explanations from Matthew chapter 1. Listen, miracles often happen in the midst of a mess. And the birth of Jesus is no exception. But it does begin with an angel's assurance and promise. "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." That's the first step of faith. The first step of faith is the reality, the knowledge, the acceptance, the knowing that God is with us. That we all are highly favored. And that God is the one who comes to us for this relationship, desiring a relationship, no matter what the circumstances. See, God is pursuing a relationship with each one of us. God is pursuing a relationship with every one of us here and with every single one of us outside the doors of this building. What are we going to do about this? Are we willing to give what it takes in order to help other people come to understand the love that God has for them, to help make disciples of Christ, that the world might be different? Listen, God's favor can't be earned. You cannot buy the perfect Christmas. You cannot buy a relationship with God. God comes when we're doing everything wrong. God comes whether we've been naughty or nice. Why? Because God loves us. Because we, like Mary, are highly favored. And so is everyone. Don't miss this. From the person addicted to alcohol, to the FEMA workers walking down the street, to the insurance adjuster, to the person at the intersection that beeps their horn because you didn't move quick enough once the light turned, to the person cutting you off in the register line, God loves everyone. But this doesn't mean that bad things will never happen to us. Maybe you've done everything you know how to do to be faithful to God, to be true to your family, and then all of a sudden you're notified just before the holiday that you'll be laid off at the first of the year, or don't come back on Monday. Or your husband tells you that he doesn't love you anymore. Or your four-year-old has been diagnosed with some disease. Or the high school guidance counselor calls you up and says they believe your son or your daughter is doing drugs. I mean, God, how can this be when we've tried so hard to live right and to do the right things? Can we even imagine what it felt for Mary? What she was thinking, what her mother would say to her, what her fiancé would say, which, by the way, in that culture, being pledged was like being married, that he would have to divorce her, and he would have a right in that culture to divorce her. Because the penalty for having sex outside of marriage was a torturous execution. How could that be? But even when life doesn't make sense, Mary was willing to choose to continue to serve God. She says what? "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." Mary didn't quit. Through those lean and dangerous years after Jesus was born, as she brought him up, she didn't quit. When the religious leaders accused her son of being a blasphemer, She didn't quit when she stood at the foot of a cross where her son was hanging, dying, when it seemed like everything around her made no sense. Mary is an excellent example of serving God even when life doesn't make sense. I mean, after all, though, life isn't about you and me, though, is it? We miss life when we use God to get what we desire, instead of allowing ourselves to be used by God for God's desires. I want to say that again. We miss life when we use God to get what we want, instead of allowing ourselves to be used by God for what God wants. This is an imperfect season of life. And some of us may feel, we may not feel like celebrating Christmas. But again, we remember this reality. It's not our birthday. It's Jesus' birthday. And by celebrating Christmas, we're celebrating someone else who suffered as well. The angel said to Mary, "Greetings, you who are highly favored." See, God's love, God's favor doesn't necessarily mean that the path of faith and following Jesus is going to be neat and predictable. Life is not about staying safe and living comfortably. The call to follow Jesus is a call to give your life to Him, to join God's mission in healing people in this world. You know, we weren't ever promised a reward in this life. The real rewards are found in joy and peace that we experience when we serve God, when we serve others. That may be why Mary could pray, "I am your servant, Lord. Regardless of what comes, regardless of what happens, let it be done to me according to your will, even when that visible understanding disappears." It would have been nice for Mary all through her life to have an angel at her beck and call that she could see anytime she needed to encourage her. But what does the Bible say happens after the angel made this announcement? It says the angel disappeared. But she said, "Even though the angel's not there, Lord, I am your servant." In your notes today, there's some questions for you to think about. Small groups have been looking at these, and we're looking at them this week and some others. But I ask you to ponder them even this morning. What's your vision of a perfect Christmas? What imperfect circumstances will you face this year that will challenge your ability to celebrate Christmas fully? Question two, has life ever smacked you down even though you were trying to do everything right? What was your initial reaction to God and how did you get through it? And number three, how can you celebrate Jesus in the midst of your struggles? How can God use your current struggles to help others this upcoming holiday season? I had a phone call yesterday. Some of you know that about 2 days after the storm, I had a phone call from a woman, Beatrice, from England. She said, "My son and daughter-in-law live over in Lavalette, and they're living at a hotel now down in Cherry Hill, and they don't have much information, and they need somebody just to encourage them." And of course, I'm like, "Well, how did you get my number?" She said, "Well, my pastor looked online, found your number, and so I'm calling you to call him up." So after a few phone calls, I tracked him down in the hotel room, and I'm talking to them, trying to encourage them. And the last thing I said, of course, which is always a positive thing and a good thing to say, "Well, if you need anything, let me know." Well, Wednesday, Mary Ann called me up and said, "We just found out that Lavalette on Saturday, yesterday, they're going to close everything and turn the gas on. And so we only have a couple days." Now, they've only been allowed to be over there about 2 days a week to get things out. And so some folks went over on Thursday and went over on Friday and helped gut their house. It hadn't been gutted yet, and got things out on the front lawn and got that all taken care of. Last night, I got a call from Beatrice from England thanking us for going over there and helping. But Mary Ann called and was talking to her on the phone yesterday afternoon, and she said, Pastor John, I believe in miracles. You see, even in the midst of the unexpected, the messy, the devastating, we can fully expect God to show up. God uses you. God uses me. God uses us as a witness to others of His great love. No matter what you're struggling with, that's what Christmas is all about. In the midst of the messes, God shows up. Amen? Pray with me. Lord God, we too believe in miracles. Forgive us, God, for those times when we look selfishly at ourselves and life around us and have our own little pity party. And help us, God, to see that we're not in this alone. But you call us into relationships with others, our spouses, our families. You call us into relationships in the life of our church family. That we can say, we thank you, God, for our church family. We thank you, God, for our families. We are grateful for the relationships that we have. And God, today we are grateful for your Spirit and the relationship we have with you. That motivates us, that allows us to help others, to love others. Not, God, that they look to us and pat us on the back, but God, that they may believe in miracles. They, God, may believe in you. Continue, God, to direct us in these days to be bearers of your love, to be miracle workers in our world. We ask all this in the name of Christ. And all God's people said, Amen. And amen.